Hey, two things. Let's celebrate the worship team today. Just tell them thanks. Great job leading us. Also, one more time, let's just thank all the people who had a hand in decorating the church this week. I mean, isn't it just beautiful? Just tell them thanks. Good stuff. Good stuff. So glad we got to sing Silent Night. You know, John was talking to us a little bit before. John, who was playing the box. By the way, I can't imagine he doesn't just go home and pass out. Can you? I mean, after beating that thing the way he does, that's an amazing thing to me. What shape he must be in to do that. John was telling us a story, and it's singled around the carol Silent Night. And I'd heard the story before, but to be honest with you, I had forgotten about it. During World War II, we and the Germans were across a field from each other on the battle lines. And in this specific place, it happened to be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and there was a truce called for those 2 days. And in the midst of that, the Americans, because it was quiet enough from the truce, they heard across the field, and they didn't understand the words, but they understood the melody, and the German soldiers were singing Silent Night. And they waved a white flag, and they met in the middle then to sing Silent Night and to literally get to know one another and share a meal with each other. Isn't it amazing what a carol can do and the longevity of it? See, Silent Night was written in 1816. It was written by an Austrian priest, and his name was Father Joseph Mohr. And about 2 years later, he found Franz Gruber, who literally he asked if he would write the melody to it. And he asked him to do it in a pretty quick fashion because they had a Christmas Eve service, and he wanted to sing this song. And so I was telling Caleb before the service, it's so wonderful that today the only instrument outside of the box was the guitar, because that's what Gruber played for Silent Night the first night it was sung. It was a guitar solo that he sang. And so, incredible notion of how this is. Now, here's a crazy thing. The original manuscript of Silent Night was lost. And then in 1995, not that long ago, isn't this crazy? In 1995, an original copy and story that had been written about it was found, dated back all the way to 1820. And there we find out of how it happened with him writing that. And right after that, in 1859, there was an Episcopal priest in New York City that wrote the version that you and I sing today. And so Silent Night has this long-standing influence on the world, because it speaks to us, I believe, and when we think about that, it speaks to us in a notion that we relate to Luke, the second chapter, when he says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." And you and I can place ourselves there because this scripture has so much to relate to us personally. I mean, in many respects, it was a night like any other night. The shepherds had no idea of what was about to happen. They had come from a long day. If any of you have ever done any herding of anything, whether that be children, cats, dogs, cows, you realize that at the end of the day, there are sometimes when you're just so exhausted that after the chaos settles down and maybe the sheep were finally laying down for the night, they were able to get around the campfire and just rest for a moment, to believe that they could take in a breath and realize that they had some kind of sense that they were going to be renewed from the day. But it wouldn't happen this evening, because this evening was about to be interrupted as God would make his physical presence into the world. You see, this evening, God's special messenger was sent to them, which must have been mind-boggling for them. But in this glorious, unimaginable, wondrous, perplexing, frightening night, the shepherds were awakened to the notion that a Savior was to be born. And sometimes I'm so fearful that we can get so caught up in the busyness of Christmas that we can fail to understand that that messenger came for us also. You see, it was the announcement of God coming to earth. There is an incredible
part of this passage when it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, it means the magnificence, it means a blinding presence. He's talking about the Shekinah glory of God. It's a big word that simply means that God is so radiant, so amazing, so overwhelming to us that when His glory comes upon us, it blinds us to everything but that. And that's what happened to the shepherds at night. It was the radiance of God that came upon them. And they were terrified. And I'm not so certain that you and I wouldn't be. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. And then notice what he says, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, friends, I want you to know where it says these words, it literally means that the angel is proclaiming to them, I am the privileged bearer of news. News so worthy of rejoicing. News so worthy that it has to be celebrated. News so worthy that a declaration is going to be made about it from a heavenly position. And that's the kind of word that the angel brought to the shepherds at night. Something magnanimous, something literally awing. But not only for them, because the word laos there that he uses is a word that means all of us. It means that it is universal, that it's in the nature of its circumference, it encompasses all. And I want you to know, no one could have represented all the people more than the shepherds. Because the shepherds did not represent society's who's who of the day. In fact, they were a despised lot. They were outcast from any sense of a respectable society. In fact, their honesty and integrity was questioned so much, no shepherd was ever allowed to testify in a court of law. You see, there couldn't be any doubt that God was making an intentional point this evening to say that when He said the good news was for all of us, trust me, the shepherds knew the good news was for all of them. And in some ways, it's a reminder to us to be more open to people who are different than us, whose skin color may be different from us, whose socioeconomic background may be different than us. It means that God wants us to know, I want you to know, this good news is not just centered on you, but it's on a world that needs me, and a world that is broken, in a world that desperately today needs for us to be okay with some folks that are different than us. And how important is it that when people walk into this place, that it's a safe place for them, that they don't want to come into stares because they look differently than us, but that we will open our arms and open our doors and say, we want you to know, this is a safe place for you to bring your brokenness and your burdens, bring your struggles and your cares. We want to be that kind of place. There is no doubt that God was speaking to all of us. But I want you to know, perhaps even for some of us today, it's more personal than that. Maybe you need a good word from God today. Maybe in your life journey this day, maybe you need a word of encouragement from God. Perhaps it's been a long week. Perhaps it's been a long month. Perhaps this year has been saturated with changes in your life. You know, when I was listening to the opening video that we did, and he's talking about his grandmother passing away, and I'm telling you, I started weeping because my mom passed away right after Christmas. We knew that last Christmas was going to be our final one with her. My dad passed 2 years before that. And now, suddenly, Christmas is different for us because for 34 years, we've always gone home to Mississippi. That's all our boys know. But for the first time in 34 years, we won't go there this year. I'm going to be honest with you. That's tough for me. You see, but there are some of you in this place today that you're sitting with brokenness right now and nobody knows it because you don't share it with anyone. But I promise you, perhaps you need a good word from God. Sometimes, friends, we just need strength in the midst of our weariness. Sometimes we just need joy in the midst of our brokenness. Sometimes we just need hope in the middle of our hopelessness. You see, we're like the shepherds. We need good news too. And this is what the angel has declared. And he makes three specific declarations at night about the good news. He said, this is the good news, that today, even tonight in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And notice what he says, and he is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born to you. And he's one who rescues us from what we can't be rescued from on our own. I mean, one who pays a ransom for us when we can't pay the price. It means one who has the capacity to pick us up because we can't pick ourselves up. It one who has the capacity that takes this weighted down sense we have by sin and brokenness in our lives, and we're wondering how we can get it off of our shoulders, and it is this one, Jesus, who comes and lifts it off of us. He's our Savior. He brings to us what we can't bring ourselves. He saves us in a way we can't save ourselves. He pays for us in a way we can't pay for. He cleans us in a way we can't clean. He picks us up and he places us in a good place. When you read Psalm 41 through 3, it says, and the Lord turned to me and heard my cry. He lifts me out of the slimy pit of the mud and the mire. He sets my feet on solid ground. He gives me a firm place to stand. He puts a new song in my heart. When he says he puts you in a firm place to stand, it means he lifts you up and places you on a high place so that you're safe there. So that you're not struggling with the muck and the mire. That's what a Savior does for us. That's what Jesus did for us. You see, he says, a Savior has been born to you. And then notice the two words he uses. And he is Christ the Lord. You see, that word Christ is the word from Christos. It means God's anointed and God's appointed. It means that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is the fulfillment of the declared promise that God has made about the coming Christ. It means not only that he has been given the position, but when he says he is the Christ, it means he's been given the authority to carry out the position. Isaiah 9 says, for a child is born to us. Now notice it's 600 years before written. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. It literally means all that is what he will carry. And what Scripture tells us is that he has the capacity to do this. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. And the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And what he's literally saying, Isaiah, is, I want you to know the resources are from a heavenly realm that are going to make sure his earthly reign will come to fulfillment. Every promise Jesus ever made, every promise God ever gave to us through his Son, will be fulfilled because, friends, an eternal power rests on him, through him, with him, and now lives in us by the power of his Spirit. Amen and amen. What a powerful notion when he says, and he is Christ. He is the Christos. He is the Messiah come to us and all the power that it takes to do it. And he is Christ, it says, the Lord. The word is kurios. And it means to be the prototype of something. You see, Jesus wasn't a reflection or a cheap copy. Jesus is the original. It means that Jesus is God himself come down to earth. It means he's not second hand. It means he's not second string. It means it's God who has come, was sent to live through us, among us, with us. How does John the Beloved say it in John 1? So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I love the way the Message translate verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true, true from start to finish. You see, that's Jesus. The provision of mine in your salvation, the provision of mine in your reconciliation to God, being made right with God, being brought home to God, that's only made possible because God Himself, the Lord of the universe, brought His Son Jesus to this earth so that He could ultimately pay a sacrifice for mine and your sins and wrongs. Ephesians 1:3 says, "And all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." You see, that ties into something because not only do we find out that the Christ child is born and that the angel makes this declaration of this good news, that Jesus is born, a Savior is born to you today, He is Christ the Lord. But suddenly, there has to be some response to this good news. I mean, it just can't be left alone. You can't just drop this on the shepherds and think that it's good enough. No, they didn't need just a declaration. They had to have a celebration. And suddenly it says there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. It means God's army of angelic notions were there. And they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men." I love the phrase where it says, "And suddenly there was." You got to understand something. Heaven couldn't contain itself. The declaration wasn't enough. These angels burst forth on the scene. I mean, if you think the shepherds were scared at first, I'm telling you, friends, they're shivering behind rocks when this happens. Because God makes His presence known in this incredible notion because He can't let His Son come to this earth and not have somebody hear about it. So there's this thunderous ovation of song, and we've sung about it for years from the great song Gloria. It's where we receive this from, but it's in God's coming. It's about this declaration that has to be celebrated in such a powerful way. And I don't want us to miss two phrases here because He says, "And glory to God in the highest." And notice what He says, "And on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And His peace is this deep-seated peace. It surpasses the celebration. It is the shalom of God. It's this thing that transcends our outward because it touches our inward. It is a notion of peace that transcends circumstances and difficulties and struggles and labors and hardships. And when the shepherds heard this, they're people that lived with hardship and brokenness. They didn't know anything but dissonance and dysfunction. Their whole lives were set around it. They were defined that way. They were described that way. And here is God saying, "I'm going to bring to you my peace, and I'm going to bring to you my goodwill." And sometimes we never think about this goodwill. That's a gesture. You ever heard somebody say, "I want to make a gesture of goodwill"? It means that there's a step taken from one entity to another to bring something to you that you're not used to having. And He's bringing this goodwill to shepherds who are so broken and so outcast. And He's saying to them, I want you to know my goodwill, my favor, my settledness. All of this is going to be borne out to you. And He offers the same to us in His favor and His blessings. And He wants us to know that you're at a place where you know right now in your life, you're not sure if you have the favor of the Lord on you. Because you have decided to walk away from that favor. Your goodwill gesture has been to ignore Him, to walk away from Him. And the angel is saying, "I want you to know the heavenly host is singing about the nature that God is making a gesture through Jesus, that His goodwill to us and His grace to us and His mercy to us is always available." And these blessings that we read about in Ephesians 3 to begin this section, it says, "And all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." Now notice what He says. Transcends anything you're ever going to have here. He says, "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." And notice what He says. "Because you and I, we are united with Christ." You see, you can't get that goodwill till you get Jesus. That goodwill is a package deal. That the favor of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord from the heavenly realms come to us because of Christ. See, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of peace and goodwill that to me is like heaven. It's worth shouting about and singing about and praising God about. But I want you to know there's another response. And in truth, I really believe this. That when you read this part of the Christmas story, I don't think it should ever end with you and I just hearing about Jesus. The shepherds had to respond to it. I mean, their lives have been so totally shaken by this, if you will, redistributed by it. They're hearing about something that they can't imagine that they're the ones to hear it. I mean, it's still they're trying to process this. I love what it says, because the shepherds go on this journey, and I just want us to understand and look at this journey, because it's so much like our journey. It says, and when the angels had returned to heaven. Now notice this, everybody's gone. Ain't nobody else singing from heaven. Just the shepherds in a campfire. And he says, when they had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. What are we going to do with the sheep? I don't care. Find their way home if they want. But we're going to Bethlehem. And then notice what they said. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. You see, there's five parts to their journey. They heard about Jesus in such phenomenal fashion. There may be some of us today that are reacquainting ourselves about Jesus. We may have heard about it long ago, and it wasn't enough for them to hear about it. Notice what they said. Let's go see this thing. They not only heard about Jesus, they're seeking Jesus. And I pray today that that's part of you and me. But particularly for some folks whose lives maybe haven't been brought up in this faith background, but this Jesus is speaking through your heart. Maybe he's tweaking your heart. Maybe he's stirring your heart. But in some way, you know, you want to say, let's go see about this thing that God has told us about. And they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. Now notice what it says. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. You see, they heard about Jesus. They sought Jesus. And here's the crazy thing. They found Jesus. And it was just like they had been told. You see, amazing, isn't it, that in reality, sometimes our doubts about Jesus keep us from coming to Jesus? But here's the truth. If you will get into the Word, and if you will study about Jesus, you're going to find out what the shepherds did, that everything that has been said about him is true. And then they couldn't contain it. So they not only heard about him, they not only sought him, they not only found him, they started sharing about him and telling other people about the baby and what was said about him. And it's so amazing to me that sometimes, friend, we get so content with just finding Jesus, we never get to the place that we share Jesus. And that's what has to happen in the life of the church. We have to come to a place that he stirs us so much that we can't contain him, that we have to talk about him. And then finally, the final part of their journey. It says, and the shepherds went back to their flocks. It means that life went back to where it was, but it wasn't the same. And notice how it was different, because they began glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. You see, if after Jesus your life doesn't have a different purpose, a different calling, a different reason to exist, And that is to bring honor to the Father and His Son. That is to live life in a way that we in no way dishonor Him, nor disrespect Him, nor in any way do something that hurts our witness towards Him. You see, we understand we have been called for a different meaning and a different purpose, and that is to live our lives in a way that glorify God. And friends, I don't care where you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care what your livelihood is. Please hear me. The outcome of your week, every week, should be that you reflected Christ in a way that was worthy of who He is. And that's our calling. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." I'm your rep, God. I'm out here. I'm out here casting seed for you. I want you to know, Lord, I know who I represent. I know that this Jesus has come into my life, and I know He's changed me. I know He's redeemed me. I know He's made me a different person. But Lord, here's the deal. I know now my life is centered on You. And He says, "In giving thanks to Him through God the Father." And I want you to know, Jesus, why I'm doing it. Because I'm thankful. I'm thankful that You came. I'm thankful that You brought Your wholeness into my brokenness. I'm thankful that You brought meaning into my life that was lost. I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful today, Jesus, that You came. Leith Anderson has retired. He was a great pastor in Minneapolis. He told a story one time I'll never forget. It was about a trip he made to Manila. And there he was taken to one of the most visited places in Manila. Can you guess what it was? It was a city dump. And you want to know why? Why it was so popular? Because tens of thousands of people lived on this dump. They had children, their children had children, and many of these, thousands of these people never went anywhere, I mean inside the city of Manila, never even got off the city dump for their entire lives. They would send out their children in the morning to go scavenge for food, to find anything they could that they could sell or barter or borrow. And these were just generations of people that lived on this dump. But here's an even crazier thing. Also now living on this dump were Americans who had been there years before, and the Lord had broken their hearts so much for the brokenness that they witnessed that they sold everything they had and went and to live on this dump with those people so that they could bring the love of Christ to them. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy, isn't it? That you would leave what you have to go give to someone who didn't have. And yet, my friends, that is exactly what the Son of God did for you and me. That first journey, that first Christmas, please know this, that night, that holy night, God slipped in to our existence. Make no mistake, Jesus knew what He was doing. Jesus knew where He was going. And He absolutely knew the ultimate sacrifice that was going to take in His coming to this place. Yet He journeyed from heaven to earth to pay a debt you and I couldn't pay. To enter our brokenness and to literally engage our hurt, our lostness, our pain. All because, like the angel said, He was on a mission to bring good news to you and me. He was on a mission to save us. All of us, like the shepherds, are on a journey. All of us at different places on the journey. every one of us, ends with this fact. Jesus came to meet us wherever we are, whoever we are. Whatever luggage or baggage we're carrying, or if we have no baggage and no luggage at all, He came to meet us, even in our brokenness. And you know what? I really believe the shepherd's response is the right response. Because I believe today, you and I still, because of the greatness of the story, the greatness of the story and the greatness of the love it took to make the story reality, I think Jesus deserves a response. And so you know what? We're going to do what we did last week. We're just going to take some moments after the teaching. The worship team can come on up. And I just want us, just for a minute, ponder how the Lord has spoken to our hearts today. How did the story find you today? Not your neighbor, not your wife, not the person sitting by. How did the story impact you today? What is God speaking to your heart this moment? What is God sharing with you, giving you insight to, allowing you to know perhaps this is something missing in your life, perhaps this is a void in your life, perhaps this is a place in your life, and God's speaking so directly to that today, you know it. And then how do you and I need to respond? Is it by giving ourselves to Him? Is it about getting help for our brokenness and our hurt? It is about finding joy that transcends where we are in the circumstances of life. Is it about having a goodwill gesture that we've never thought about, that God has made this gesture towards us, and somehow we've got to respond in goodwill to that? Man, what a good day to be in church. Because I want to tell you something. God's shown up. And God's speaking to us. And God's talking to us. God's nudging us. And in this very holy, sacred moment, we get to be like the shepherd and just say, you know what? Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing. Let's go realize that it's real. Let's go take a hold of it. Let's let it impact our lives so much we can't contain it. But we got to tell somebody. Because this Jesus, He's that good. And you know why? Because this Jesus is God Himself come down to this earth to live in our neighborhood, Pendleton, Indiana. And God desires and God deserves no less than a sincere response from our heart and our lives. Let's just take a moment and just let's just reflect on that. I want to offer a prayer for all of us, just in thanks to God for this amazing gift He gave us in His Son. But just perhaps, I don't know, just perhaps, there's some who want to pray today to find Him, to take a hold of Him, to let His love change your love and your life. And I want to ask you to just pray with me as we share that prayer today, will you? Father, we bless Your holy name. Jesus, we thank You. We're like the shepherds, God. There's sometimes we quake at You. Sometimes, God, when You come to us and You speak to us and You nudge us and You begin to work inside us, we're just going to be flat honest with You. Sometimes it scares us to death. And yet, Lord, in the midst of that, there's a voice that speaks and says, don't be afraid, for I bring you great news of great joy that today in the city of David there has been a child born, and He is Christ your Savior, the Lord. And so, Lord, we want to receive that today. For some of us, Lord, we have not done that. And we humble ourselves before You today. And we ask You to come into our brokenness and our hurt and our pain, the messes that we have made. And we ask you to forgive us and to redeem us and to so powerfully pour yourself into us that you change us. Merry Christmas, God. We thank you for your Son. And we bless the name of Jesus. Amen.